welcome to episode 3 of What's On Joe Mind. It's a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. We're what you listen to when the forums aren't interesting anymore. I'm one of your 4 co-hosts, Gary, not to be confused with any other Gary in the community who collects test shots and pre-production samples. Also joining me on the usual, as usual on the broadcast, he's the most timely man in podcasting by keeping us on schedule at all times. He warns us his finger is on the button. We're kind of hoping it's the mute button, but welcome, Greg.
Good evening, fellas.
Live from our New York City Broadcasting Center. If you've got anyone to blame for this podcast, blame him because it's his idea. Sadly, he's part of the Transformer fandom, so we forgive him. Welcome, Chuck.
Good evening, everyone. Nice to hear from y'all again.
And utilizing the only internet connection in 100 square miles is the man who single-handedly accounts for all the northern New Hampshire's internet bandwidth. He's the webmaster and General Hawk himself of GeneralJoes.com, Justin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing real well. So we have now made it to episode 3, and really we got a full schedule, so I'm going to turn it right over to Greg. Greg, kick her off. What do we got first to talk about what's on Joe Mind?
Starting off this evening, we're going to talk first about an email blast that a bunch of members in the community received talking about the new Alpha vehicles. So that would include the Hiss Scout tank and also a Shiko with the transforming bike. We first saw it on JoeCanuck.com. Mogardee posted some pictures that they got from Hasbro, apparently. But have you guys had a chance to take a look at these pictures?
Yeah, I was one of the probably couple hundred people that got that blast. I think it's the guy that was selling on eBay just kind of unloaded on his sales list. So the question, I guess, goes out to the group now. Chuck, I don't know if you want to take this next, is, you know, because we see these now in the box, are we going to see them in the store now?
Oh, I think we'll see them in the store. The question is, which store will we see them in? Will these be released in, you know, traditional channels like Toys R Us, Walmart, Target? Or is this something that's going to end up in a Zellers, or TJ Maxx, or Marshalls?
You know, it's looking to me like most of the major retail chains are really phasing out the vehicles. I don't expect to see them at, like, a Walmart or a Toys R Us. They'll probably, I mean, you know, it's a running joke, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see them at a place like Ross. The funny thing is, you know, I get this email. I was also on the email blast for this thing from one of the folks over in Asia who was sending these out. And funny thing is, to me, it's probably easier for me to get it from this guy in Asia than it is for me to get it from Ross. I don't have one within, like, 700 miles of me, so.
That's no lie, man. It's the same thing for me.
Same here. I mean, I have a TJ Maxx right next to a Target, and the only G.I. Joe-related toy I ever saw in there was one of those Rip Attack vehicles. I've never seen any of the other stuff that was supposedly sold and distributed through those channels, like the Rise of Cobra vehicle figure packs or Last Wave DVD sets from the 25th anniversary.
You know, the fact that at the convention, you know, not even a month ago, Hasbro was saying they're still shopping these out to retailers, it, you know, tells me that, you know, nobody big is biting and they're going to have to find some secondary folks to kind of shop them to.
Now, Greg, you're in the customizing community over on Joe Customs. Was there any comments from the customizer? I know a Shiko is high among their list of must-haves.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was on posted this on Joe Customs, but from when talking about it when it was first announced and shown, I think people are interested to see if it actually works that well. I know from some of the prototypes that have gotten into people's hands, it has potential, but it doesn't seem to work as well as everyone hopes it would, basically. But, I mean, you can put anything in their hands and they can make gold out of it. So it's interesting to see if it actually does get released, what someone can do with it once they actually could do a little customizing and chopping on it.
I hope, if anything, maybe we'll see this as an online exclusive to retailers like Big Bad Toy Store or something like that. Because I really want, I mean, the Hiss Scout, I really want a Shiko with the bike because that screams to me Robotech and Genesis Climber Mospita. So dying. I'm like drooling to get my hands on it.
I've loved that bike ever since I first saw it. I hope it. You know, I really don't care where it ends up as long as it ends up somewhere that it can be picked up. And I'd like to buy a few of them. Actually, they're just. I don't know why I like that funky stuff. You know, the stuff that the military purists kind of scoff at is the kind of stuff that I really love, and that's right up my alley.
Well, it definitely appeals to the side of the hobby that's big into anime, and I believe the character is of Asian descent, of course, by its code name. So they're definitely dipping into another side of the community, a smaller side of the community that doesn't get a lot of attention.
Well, the crazy thing is, I think Gyar Viper had a box sample, and there was a file card there, and I think it actually says that he's a member of the Arashikage clan. So they're kind of tying the whole ninja element into this weird science fiction strangeness.
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time they've done the ninja bike.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, they love ninja bikes.
Not so much.
Now, on the His Scout is interesting. I know the His Scout doesn't get a lot of love because basically it's, you know, just a set of treads. Interesting on that, it's supposed to somehow hook into your or be towed by your existing His tank, I believe. Gary at the convention was trying to demonstrate it for us, and it wasn't kind of working. I don't know, because what he had was a prototype, and then it just wasn't marrying up very well. But it's interesting how they had that in mind when they were going to bring it out. It's like, hey, you got the His tank, guess what? You can hook it up into that.
I think a lot of cool idea.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like at first when people saw it, they were kind of skeptical about it, but then there was the whole, oh, it may not get released, and then everyone's like, oh, that's so awesome. I love it now because it's going to be rare and hard to find. But it's pretty neat looking, and I like the working treads. I'm glad they started doing that again. It kind of sets Joe apart from a lot of other lines where it has just neat features like the actual rubberized treads.
I think it's getting overshadowed by Ashiko with the bike, just because, you know, Ashiko is so new, so different, and like Gary just said, it's just, you know, treads with a cannon. But I think if viewed on its own, it does have some merit. But I am concerned by how you mentioned that the towing feature was not working at the convention. You know, in the history of toys, we've had figures and vehicles and what have you released that were supposed to have a certain working action feature that, for whatever reason or another, were pushed through without that feature being 100% functional. So I'm curious now, is this something that, yes, it's supposed to be able to connect, but in the actuality really won't be able to connect?
Yeah, it's always amazing, the whole engineering process, you know, from pre-production to samples to production samples to actual production on the shelf. There's so many elements there that can change one way or the other. It's amazing that we actually end up with functional vehicles in the first place, because, you know, from concept to design to actual production, you know, a millimeter off here or, you know, a millimeter off there, and you can totally wreck the functionality of the vehicle. So, I mean, something like the His Scout, which is kind of a little flaky the way it hooks up anyway, you know, if there's any kind of discrepancy between how it was designed, how it was conceived, and how it's actually produced, you know, it totally loses what one of the main draws of the whole thing was.
Believe me, I understand completely what you're saying. In all my years, I've always had that. I once in a while, knock on wood, have experienced that exact problem, that something was molded like you said, a millimeter off, and it completely throws everything else off. Yeah.
That's what's so amazing about, not to deviate to Transformers, but it does amaze me, even though, you know, this is a G.I. Joe podcast, you know, to hell with Transformers, no offense, Chuck, but it amazes me that they can continue producing those toys and make them as functional, as transformable, and the design that goes into those things just blows my mind, even if I'm not a big fan of the property.
Talk to me after the show. I got something I can tell you about their functionality.
That's one of those long recording sessions we need to go with, you know, what really grinds Chuck's gears.
All right. So I think moving on. So this last week we...
That's a good point to move on, I think. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. The Canadian Joe Convention, they released the first actual prototype of their exclusive figure for the convention. His name is Captain Ruin. Did you guys get a chance to take a look at him yet?
Yeah, actually, I got him up on the other screen here at JoeCanuck.com. Slick-looking figure. I mean, from the neck down, it's your traditional Canadian JoeCon type figure where we're going to take parts and gear from other figures and put it together in a format that makes sense. The head's new, and the head is pretty sweet. He's got the goatee thing going on. He's got the slick back hair. He's got these mean-looking green sunglasses on. I mean, he could be a dreadnought. He could be a mercenary. I mean, for a character specific to their universe, which is the Cobra North universe.
Call it a Joeverse, kid.
I did not call it a Joeverse. but Mike will be quick to tell you they do have their own universe up there. But they don't really tell you start the threads. How does Joe Canuck fit into your Joeverse? But anyways, it's a new head. I don't know where they got it from. Maybe we can ask that Mike next week when he's on the show. But it is a sweet looking figure, and definitely looking forward to seeing more of this in my hand when I go in here in about a month or two.
The head actually looks like a 25th anniversary buzzer with the goatee molded on and his ponytail removed. Just that I'm looking at the glasses with that receding hairline.
Interesting. The thing I love most about the Canadian JoeCon guys, the JoeCanuck guys, is just that, while so many collectors are kind of mired in the past and have kind of, because of, the demands on Hasbro and the club, they're kind of also mired in the past and so focused on revisiting past characters. I really love the way JoeCanuck is kind of just going totally whole hog into new characters and new ideas and new concepts. They're kind of the only people out there doing that right now. They're not so concerned with making Leatherneck look like he did in 1986. They can actually expand their horizons and do some cool new things.
Yeah, I mentioned it somewhere else, but the head sculpt reminds me of The Undertaker from WWE when he was during his American Badass period when he'd ride in on the chopper and stuff. I don't know. That kind of, if I take that character and kind of apply it to that, it makes the figure a lot cooler.
Yeah. You're right. I actually see it now that you mention it.
Mike is a big big wrestling fan, too, so I wouldn't be surprised if somehow that was...
A little Easter egg?
Yeah, tied into it.
I just saw this, that it's on the same idea, but released today, talked about by Stealth Viper on JoeCanuck.com. It says, due to trademark issues, the Sky Striker, as we know it, cannot be sold with a name in Canada. As such, our packaging will carry the name Skyfighter. This name change will apply in other countries as well. However, the USA release will still be called Sky Striker. The toy itself will, of course, be identical. Only the packaging slash name will be different. Look for it on shelves this fall.
So. Interesting.
Packaging variant.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm curious what the copyright issue is. Just what else out there is named Sky Striker in Canada?
Good question.
All right, as long as we're talking about the convention, I think, Gary, you had announcements for when we're actually up for the convention?
Yeah, myself and Greg, we will be at the convention. Mike did the pre-order for 25 sets, or the pre-registration for 25 sets a couple weeks ago, and I was able to jump in on that. Greg, unfortunately, did not, so he gets to do what I did my first time I went to the Canadian convention, and that was stand in line all night long. So what we're going to do, we're working with Mike, and we'll talk more about it next week when we have him on the show. But we're going to have, first of all, we're going to have an all-day, kind of an all-day type podcast, probably a multi-parter, and we'll just splice it all together and make it a long podcast during the convention itself. We'll try to pull in other members of the Canadian JoeCon staff, try to get some of the guests that are there part of the show to get them on the mic and talk for a little while. We could do some interesting things with mobile technology where we can actually kind of go out in the crowd, talk to some folks, where you at, what's your name, where you from, You know, certain folks we might have to preface by saying this is a rated, you know, G show, so, you know, no F-bombs, please.
That's it, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking with someone else about this last night, and we both named the same person right off the bat who we need to preface first. No cussing, please. And he will be there for sure, but so we wanted to do that. And then we also kind of wanted to, I know for a lot of folks, the night in line leading up to getting your set and everything is part of the experience as well. So we wanted to kind of let the fandom in a little bit on that. And what I'll do is, and then of course, the rest of the hosts, if they want to get on this, is just as fine. It won't be a regular scheduled recording day. It'll probably be like on a Thursday night or something like that. But we'll dial down to Greg. Greg has an iPhone. He can put Skype on that, his Skype account. And then what he can do is he can talk to some people in line to kind of get the feel and the hype of the Canadian convention. This is probably the only way that we can really share with most of the people in the outside world who can't get to the convention their opportunity to kind of see what it's like to go to the Canadian convention, which is really a good time. So that's the announcement of the two special podcasts night before, and an all-day type thing the next day where we will be kind of just pulling people out of the crowd and doing interviews and stuff with them. So two podcasts for Canadian JoeCon coming at you.
I just realized I was volunteered to stand in line all night, so that's awesome.
You're going to be doing that podcast for 12 hours straight overnight?
It's going to be like a telethon. Yeah. 11, I am getting very tired.
Well, we wanted Jerry Lewis, but sadly he's unavailable.
I'm a cheap imitation.
We wanted Jerry Lewis for Stuck with Greg.
No, yeah. Greg's suitable. It's mainly Stuck with Gary.
All right, moving on. Next up, we have the G.I. Joe Collectors Club Dial Tone has started shipping, and people have actually received it. So this is the one that is not carded, I believe. Is that correct, guys?
Yeah, this is a loose one, yeah.
And then from what we've heard, the loose one actually seems to have better paint apps than the carded ones.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, there's two major issues at the moment. The one thing is, yeah, the loose one seems to have more just cleaner paint apps. You know, not necessarily the shades of the paint, but just kind of crisper and cleaner lines. Doesn't look quite so sloppy. But on the other side of the coin, the loose one, and I'm not sure, I know compared to the convention version, his weapons are a lot darker. I'm not sure, I haven't really looked at a carded one closely. Is the carded one come with the light gray weapons, or are his dark as well?
We'll have to save that for next episode because I don't have my carded one here.
Okay.
It's hanging someplace else. I have my loose one here. I believe it's just right now, I can definitely tell you it's a sharper paint app. Mm-hmm. And he seems to have a bit more of a tan going on.
Oh, does the loose one is a little bit darker skin tone than the carded one?
It seems that way. Although, you know, if we're going to ask someone at the club, they're going to probably say they all came out of the China at the same time.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at a picture of the carded dial tone online right now, and he actually comes with the same dark gray weapons that the loose one does. So that's kind of a weird choice by the Collectors Club, I think. They work so hard to make it faithful to the original, but they give them these dark metallic gray weapons instead of the light gray ones that the original came with. That's kind of strange. But.
Well, it came in a... if you've never gotten a free figure from the club before, and it's free, when I say free, it's just your membership figure. Yeah. It's paid for by your membership fees and whatnot. It just comes in a plain white mailer box, very similar to like the mail-away type boxes you've gotten from Hasbro in the past. Inside, you'll have dial tone, figure stand, pistol, machine gun, backpack. And then also I want to say uncut, meaning it hasn't been cut from the back of a file card, or excuse me, back of a card art, but it's an uncut file card, so you can add it to your collection. All in all, very similar to how we received Big Lob last year. But all in all, everyone should be mostly pleased, all things considered.
Yeah, besides the weapon colors, I think the figure is actually great. I mean, he fits in. I know there's been complaints about what they used for his bandolier and stuff, and his skin tone, yeah, it's a little on the dark side, but I can kind of see, you know, his last name's Morelli, he kind of seems like an Italian type of guy. You know, I don't see a big issue with his skin tone, and besides that, I think he fits in perfectly with the rest of the anniversary line, which I think is what they were kind of going for. I mean, you got to admit, you know, the Pursuit of Cobra updates, like Low Light, they're cool, but they don't necessarily fit in seamlessly with the rest of the anniversary figures. The Dial Tone really does. It uses a lot of the same parts. You can see some of the same spirit of kit bashing and things like that, but the end result, I think, is fantastic. It's a great figure.
I've been hearing complaints about his neck and head, that it actually doesn't have the full range of motion that people were expecting.
The sculpted collar does prevent his head from turning a full 90 degrees one way or the other. Just a little bit.
Yeah, and the shoulder pad that would be on his left shoulder also prevents the arm from going straight up in a 90 degree, but minor stuff in my opinion, but major stuff to other people that might find that stuff, you know, important to their collection.
I am disappointed he didn't come with an open can of baked beans to be eating while he's depressed about not being a Joe anymore. and apparently nobody gets that Sunbolt reference. So.
I'm going to say, we've done everything but cover the cartoons in this entire series of podcasts, and Justin decides to crack that open now.
I figure the three or four people out there that get the joke will appreciate it.
I have the box set of the show. I just haven't had a chance to get up to that season yet. So,
well, if you get the joke, what's on Joe Mine at gmail.com. Tell Greg, let him know you got the joke.
Yeah, if you get the joke, I might send you a prize.
Now he's committed.
Hey, I get the joke. What do I get?
You get to be on the podcast.
Yeah, well, my only other question about Dial Tone is, okay, who's got an extra one that wants to sell it to me? Come on, somebody out there, somebody.
Seen them going on Buy It Now on eBay for $90.
Yeah, oh, $90.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you still get it from the club for joining up? And I mean, or can the friends still get it for like $25 from the club store, or are they totally out?
I think all those got snatched up, and that was all part of the insert name of your favorite Joe board here debate of am I getting a carded one, am I not getting a carded one debate that was going on right around con time. So I think they're all spoken for.
Gotcha.
That's good to see that they're actually selling out of their exclusives.
Yeah, like kudos to the club for that. Absolutely.
I mean, I think they found the sweet spot on figures that people want because Hasbro hasn't produced them, basically, instead of just a random army builder or just a random figure.
Big Blob.
They got lucky on that one.
Hey, there was a lot of people excited about that.
All right, just because King of Pain is on every board doesn't make it a lot of people. Hey, Rashawn, how you doing, buddy?
There's a lot of posts about it. We'll put it like that. All right. Moving on to the next topic. Last week, we saw pictures, in-hand pictures of Wave 5 that are posted by Gary Viper. So it was Cobra Commander and Cobra Trooper, Blowtorch and the Jungle Bat, and then Hawk and Steel Brigade. I, for one, love Wave 5. Wave 6, there's some good figures mixed in, but Wave 5 is awesome. I'm going to be all over that if I actually end up seeing it in the store sometime.
Yeah, Wave 5 looks pretty cool. Looks really cool. It's got some hits and misses like Wave 6, but I think the hits for Wave 5 are much harder hits than the hits were for Wave 6, if that makes any sense. You know, I love Crazy Legs in Wave 6, but there's multiple figures in Wave 5. You know, Steel Brigade is awesome. General Hawk is awesome. The Cobra Trooper update is fantastic. There's just the figures that are really cool in Wave 5 are a lot cooler than the cooler figures in Wave 6.
And you're getting some stuff that we thought was going to be canceled, not see, such as the would have been the Jungle Cobra Commander jacket is now coming out on the Cobra Commander here with, I believe that's the Resolute Cobra Commander head? Justin? Yeah, okay. So you're going to be seeing that. That's good. Anytime that Hasbro can rescue tooling and reuse it for us, that's a good thing.
I just want to know who was asleep at the wheel that Wave 6 was released before Wave 5. I mean, I just find that hysterical that, you know, because I was going through the figures, and I'm like, oh, there's a big gap in numbering here. And then I realized it was all the Wave 5 figures, and I have no idea how Wave 6 came out before, but, you know, that could be just me.
Well, with all the stuff going on with, you know, the running change for Blowtorch and Crocmaster, I mean, I wonder if that had something to do with production delays or something. Who knows? But each wave had a running change, so you wouldn't think so. But
what do you mean running change? This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Yeah, well, supposedly, you know, the initial releases of Blowtorch and Crocmaster are essentially almost the same figures that we got in the 25th anniversary, and they're both getting running changes where Blowtorch is going to be in a green uniform as an homage to his original design back in 84 that was revealed by Geyer Viper. It was one of Bill Merkline's art pieces. And then Crocmaster supposedly is moving over to the Python Patrol and is getting a Python Patrol deco.
So basically what you're telling me is there's going to be variants of these figures that aren't even in stores yet that I'm going to have to look for and have a hard time looking for.
And yes, the winner of this week's No Prize is Chuck. hey, Chuck, can you tell me what grinds your gears?
How much time do we have?
Technically, they're not variants. They're going to be running changes, which is a little bit different. But that's just me being an anal retentive collector.
Yeah, so it'll be the same as the His Tanks where they came out with the dark brownish, reddish color, and then they switched to black.
Exactly. Once they change their change, they're not going to be releasing both of them simultaneously. It's turning from one to the other.
Actually, what will end up happening is what's happened with the His Tank, in that the figures in their original colors will be on the shelves, and they'll sit there on the shelves because nobody's buying them because they want the other colors. Meanwhile, the other colors will show up in Ross, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, eBay, and other places that I don't have access to that will be going for a premium price. Yep.
And this week's edition of What Grinds Chuck's Gears brought to you by eBay.
I'm just trying to stay calm. Stay calm. Just letting it roll off. You know, the Tai Chi is helping. I'm going to mute my microphone now and start cursing.
I think that Blowtorch, depending on how the colors turn out, could be very, very cool looking, because the original, the 25th mold, still has just a ton of detail and character to it and just nice design, and seeing it in some different colors is going to be pretty excellent. I'm sure it'll be hard to find, but when it does come out, people are going to be pretty happy with it, I think.
I just hope they do something to his arms that he can hold his Blowtorch.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen, yes. Well, and the really the green variant is more of a call out to the more seasoned collectors the new modern era collectors are not seasoned. We're talking those that have been in the hobby, that have seen some of this not card art, but pre-production art. Originally, Blowtorch was supposed to be green, so there's some people in the community that knew that. I think they actually kind of pressed Hasbro on that. I would imagine Gary Head had some involvement in that. And that's great, you know, because we don't just get another Blowtorch. We get a Blowtorch in a method, in a manner that we were probably supposed to get him the first time around.
I just wish he would come with the flamethrower unit that I think his name was Susspool came with in like 94, not 94, like 92. That was like that big silver double-handed with the nice rubbery hose that plugs in and all that stuff. That was a cool flamethrower, let me tell you.
All right. Also, what we saw within just the last few days is that Gary Viper posted pictures of both San Diego Comic-Con Zarana figures, the original pink and the black variant. And I think it looks just as good as we saw at the convention. What do you guys think?
That's fine. I love it. It's a fantastic looking figure. The sculpting is amazing. I mean, the fact they can take kind of an 80s punk rock reject figure with that absolutely horrid head sculpt and make it something that really works, it's amazing. And people give them so much credit, you know, the Hasbro designers, for their military style, you know, all the pouches, all the the different military accoutrements that they give their figures, but they just did a very basic looking, you know, punk rock Zorana that's a perfect update to the original with very simplistic design, but they still made it really well detailed. I love it. But I love everything, so.
I want to know what possessed them to add those tribal tattoos to her face. I mean, and it's on both versions. It's like, I mean, the head sculpt was fine the way it is, but you know, now that they added those tattoos, it's like, ugh. You know?
Well, the only tattoos are really just the stars around the eyes, which, I mean, if they want to update her to more modern punk, you've seen that on a, I guess Kesha would be the bad example, but I mean, modern musicians.
Kesha on a Joe podcast.
I'm trying to stay relevant and hip for the kids.
If you say we are who we are, we're just going to cut off right there.
It's Kesha? I thought her name was Keisha.
No. Continue talking.
Sorry. But you know what? I'm sorry. If you want like a modern punk thing, then instead of the tattoos, give her like a bobby pin or something through her nose, or you know, both nostrils straight across. You know, something like that. But
that's too tribal.
Yeah, I wouldn't dig that. I don't mind the paint tattoos, but if they sculpted something like through her nose or you know, in her eyebrow or something, I don't know. The tattoos are cool. I don't really need anything more than that.
Now, did anyone get a look at the close-up of the variant, which is the Cold Slather shirt?
Oh, yeah.
With the concert stops. How the hell Ohio gets two concert stops, I don't know. but it looks like we got Cleveland, Cincinnati, Ontario, Philadelphia. Justin, do you know where this place is in Massachusetts? I mean, I actually tried to search for places that end in OODS in Massachusetts. I have no idea. Is that somewhere where one of the designers is from, maybe?
That's a good question. I mean, well, there's Foxwoods Casino, but I don't know if they really do a whole lot of concerts. And that's more Connecticut than Massachusetts. I don't know off the top of my head.
And, of course, Providence, Seattle, L.A., and, of course, San Diego. But those are the stops of the Cold Slither tour on the back of the shirt. Again, like the detail and the extra effort put into putting some cities in there that we pretty much all know, except for that one in Massachusetts.
I'm surprised they didn't put Springfield in. I mean, that's always the running gag for Cold Slither.
Yeah, but you would have to identify Springfield by a state.
That's a good point.
That is a good
point.
And I think the only Springfield that's been identified is Springfield, Vermont.
Yes, they did identify Springfield, Vermont in one of the early issues.
Which is just down the road from Justin. Anyways.
Nope, that about covers it for the news for the week, I believe. So next we are moving on to our esteemed guest, who has remained perfectly silent this entire time.
I don't think I've ever heard him silent for more than 30 seconds at a time in my life.
Well, you know, I hope he hasn't fallen asleep on us or something like that, but...
Yar.
Hey, this is a rhetorical question, guys. What do you get when you mix two parts Crystal Ball, one part Raptor, one part Globulus, one part Zarana, and one part Bullet Man with a dash of Roadblock and Cobra Commander?
I have an answer. Me on a Friday night after a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Nice.
That is also accepted, but the judges will also accept, as scary as it might sound, this is actually a recipe to create a pretty kick-ass author. There you go. There's a pat on the back for you, James. Got a special treat.
Pointed at this guy.
We got a special treat here tonight on the program. We are thrilled to be joined by a true ambassador, glamour model, and playboy. The world's most interesting man wishes he was him. Everyone, please welcome James Cavanaugh Jr.
Yay.
Hey.
I'm not going to be able to make it out the door with this big head of mine all of a sudden. So what's cooking? No, I'll tell you what. Let me throw this out real fast because I was listening the entire time in the background. I love the show. It was a lot of fun, just kind of kicking it. Ashiko and Scout Ross, Canada Line. No, you got to do it. It's one of the best times in the world. Zorana's Stars, Kat Von D, and then finally. it's right there, and yeah, I could go 50-50 with it. And I've seen three carded dial tones, and my loose one, the paint jobs are overall pretty good and on par, so I didn't really notice any variant.
Bonus points for paying attention.
Yeah, there you go.
So just and I am gonna brag on me being responsible for Blowtorch, and I want to say that Hasbro really does. I put a poll out on his tank, and I think that's what got to him about that, kind of starting the ball rolling on those last-minute changes. I think it really does show that they do pay attention to the boards, because I was not happy with the Crocmaster, the Blowtorch, and the Viper looking so similar. But let's move on.
If you want to thank James for a green Blowtorch, buy his book. But we'll get into that here in a second. I'll go ahead and kick it off with the first question here. I know the story, but it's an interesting story, so I'd like for you to please tell everyone. You're sitting around, the idea of the book comes into your mind. What are your thoughts? What's the genesis? What's your inspiration?
You know, it started back in the convention at 2005, actually, and people were asking about, to put it bluntly, Balamo's book had just come out, and people were asking for a modern addendum. And, you know, the consensus was and has always been that it's not really cost-effective to do so. And, you know, me being a printer and a graphic designer and kind of having an inside advantage on a lot of the things necessary to create a book, kind of said to myself, no, I could do it. And I just did. I needed a project to kind of keep me out of trouble a little bit, and I think it did in some ways. And things did come out, and there are things out there that are great, you know, phenomenal guides with a lot of things that I don't carry, but I just really wanted something. I wanted the best book for me as a collector, and then I just thought it'd be nice and share it with you guys. No, just kidding, you know.
You're the man, James.
I just really wanted a cohesive, fantastical piece. I don't know. I hope I provided.
Any one of the other guys want to ask a question?
Yeah, I was curious. Do you actually own all the vehicles and figures from the guide, or did you have to borrow from other people's conventions to fill in some of those weird gaps of BTR and stuff like that?
My lawyer informed me that I own 100% of all that.
Nice.
But yes, you know, yes.
So were you collecting it when it was actually coming out, all of it, or did you realize, well, I'm going to do this book, now I have to quick go on eBay and fill in all these holes?
Without getting too into it, I lurked as a Joe collector till about 2002 when I graduated college. You know, I was always watching Yo. I can remember when Yo-Yo didn't have more than 1985 updated on it. I wasn't overly aware of the Pit, you know, and all the news groups. I'm not the most technical, you know, tech savvy guy in the universe, as we joked about me moving into the iPhone age. But once 2002 started, yeah, I slide pretty deep into things, and so I had most of it. But then it just came down to certain things that I didn't want. Personally, just to kind of sign the dotted line and have everything ready to go. So I had about 90% of it.
Nice. Okay.
So what, and you know what? And I'm glad I did get the remainder. I mean, I got to, like, you know, absorb some things that I saw on pictures online and in Justin's dioramas and Dio stories and other Dio stories and reviews and such, and you're just really, you know, any figure, you know, this is general to everybody, any figure that you're not overly into, at least, you know, take a, you know, chance to try and look at it in some capacity, and you'd be surprised, you know. A lot of neat pieces out there.
Yeah, I think the new sculpt stuff definitely doesn't get the full credit it deserves, and I give you kudos for spending years of your life looking at all those figures and driving yourself totally mad with The thing I've got to give you the most credit for, though, is that the accessory guide within there. How long did it take you to go through all those accessories, and how did you do that without ending up in a rubber room in a straitjacket?
Well, I thought the credit you would give me for is having a super cool forward, but
not quiet.
And for anybody that doesn't know, that is Justin was nice enough to do a forward for me. That was the plan from the get-go, and yeah, that does kind of give you an insight as to how anal and meticulous that I can be. I had to have it. I just really wanted to see all the weapons and accessories lined up next to each other. The goal was, you know, you've got a lot of repetitive weapons, and you know, can you? You got a 91 Dusty's gun stock and pistol. Do you give that to a 98 Cobra Trooper? You know, that's worth about $18-$20, or do you give it to a Duke? That's a 2002 Valor Venom. That's worth $4. And, you know, I mean, as far as a resale, you know, there's a lot of value to that.
Absolutely.
Just the little things. But you know, just the visual of it is what I love personally. that is the one chapter that I'll toot my horn on is that accessory section. I love it.
We deserve
and,
that.
And to answer your question, yeah, it took me about 2 months, 2.5 months, eight hours a day on average.
Wow.
To lay all that out.
That's crazy.
Well, another thing I'll give you credit on that you worked – I think a great deal on whether you knew it or not, is one of the things that Mark's guy doesn't have and even Ron Connor's guy doesn't have is a table of contents.
Well, you know what? That's real interesting on two fronts. And one, you know, I'll paraphrase with this, you know, every author has their, you know, the things that they want to, you know, focus on. And it's a job of the next guy to kind of absorb. Like, I own every guide out there that I'm aware of, and I love every guide for what it is. So, but I felt as a designer and a researcher that it's my responsibility to take the positives that a book has, and you know, and even acknowledge and try and avoid some of the negatives that a book has. In any guide's case that it's lacking in this instance, printing works in spreads of 16 pages. So if for example, Balamo's book, if you divide the pages, it's a perfect 16 divide. And that's just a cost thing. So I totally understand that he felt there's a lot of information that needed to be put on those 16 pages, and the loss was an index. His book would have probably cost a lot more just to accommodate that. I actually had to add 2 pages to my book in order to make it even more cost effective to get it to that even 16, because they were going to, no, I'm sorry, I had to add 4 pages because the 12th remainder just, you know, adds to the price. Kind of a long story with that. we can post an addendum on the printing aspects. But yeah, just remember whenever you're assessing anybody's guide that it's divided by 16 pages with a glue bound. That is the glued spine.
I think that's something
you only get from this podcast right here.
But of course, you had to add the meticulous Kavanaugh touch and color code it. And yes, it's funny, just the little nuances. You've got a stalker, you've got a sergeant stalker, you've got rock and roll, and just all these variations of a name, and trying to keep that cohesive and simple for, you know, anybody new or old to just jump in there and find them. I just want to find my rock and roll and be done with it, you know. That sort of thing.
Hey, James, one of the stories that I kind of wanted you to talk about here on the podcast is that this book is, to really no fault of your own, was kind of delayed a couple years. Talk about that. What happened, and you're near suicide.
yeah, career suicide. And you know what, this is actually a great question from Gary on multiple levels. This is just a simple IT answer. Back that thing up. You know, I was a bad boy and I did not back my work up. I could do about 25 figures in a day. and that's outlining them at about the 13 pixel brush to knock out easily. I could do about 25 figures in 8 hours, 40 weapons in 8 hours, and about 15-20 vehicles in an 8 hour period. That's kind of how I thought of things. So I had way too much time. The book probably would have been out in 2008, in all honesty. But yeah, I was a bad boy and I did not back everything up and had to redo it all again. Fun times. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it's funny / sad how many times you hear about that. Someone's working on a big project and they're getting to the point where, oh, about time for it to come out, and all of a sudden hard drive just takes a crap and everything's gone. I don't know. It's a Murphy's Law. Anything that can go bad will go bad.
Oh, it did. I was not a happy camper. I'm not going to lie. I'm putting it politely. Gary can fill
in. No, he wasn't happy at all. he wasn't happy at all. Not the least.
Did you think about stopping then or just saying, screw it, everything's gone, that took so much time, I don't want to do it all again? Or did you kind of just never have that cross your mind?
Oh, no, it definitely crossed my mind. I missed out on a lot of life's little things. I'm not joking. Like, that was like 3,000 hours worth of work. And, in a multitude of levels, the overall theme of this book was just, G.I. Joe being a team, and you guys out there, the fans, some that knew and then some that, just wanted a book like that kind of keep me going, and just kind of said, hey, you got to do it, give me the little boot in the rear, and I did it, just toughed it out.
Chuck, you've been quiet.
Well, I was going to ask about the man hours, but he already answered that. So the only other question I was actually going to go on about a discourse about your writing styles if compares to James Joyce and Kafka, but I think that might be a bit much for others. But my one question, and I have to ask, is so now that the book is done, it's published, you're selling it, when you go into Walmart and you pass by the toy aisle, do you start to shake a little? I mean, do you get a little nervous just looking at those Joes? You get the flashbacks of the computer crash, all those figures coming at you. I mean, can you still enjoy the hobby?
I'll fully answer the question you want to ask. That was roughly 7,000 hours worth of work in this thing total. But it is. I will admit that at least I was kind of seeing a one big gray blur whenever I looked at anything between 1997 and 2007. And people did kind of catch that I wasn't totally into it. But on the opposite end of the coin, I guess I got so absorbed into that period that I think I take a lot more, excitement into this new stuff. Like, I just love it. Anything I can see new, I'm all just extra all about it because it's like it's an energy, it's energy for me. It keeps me going in the hobby.
And when are you doing the Sigma 6 book?
I'm sorry, what?
When are you doing the Sigma 6 book?
You know what? I did honestly think about, the business answer is, we'll see how sales go on this one.
Thank you, Ryan Savage.
Yes. Well, you know what it is? And honestly, it is partially the truth. I would love to what I've dubbed a miscellaneous book. And that would include Extreme, Savage, Sigma 6, Combat Heroes.
Sigma 6 in with Extreme? That's just cold, man.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, you know what? Unfortunately, and I own every Sigma 6. Well, at least every first version of every figure in Sigma 6, I loved it for what it was. It was a lot of fun. But, they only had it out for 2 years. I'd kind of have to lump
that's
it in.
That's a good point.
To, make a nice book for everybody.
I think that'd be awesome.
Definitely a possibility. You fans vote and decide.
Real quick, tell us about the promotion you have going on with your book.
Ooh, and you know what? I think, are we going to be out? Is this going to be published tonight, May 10th, 2011?
We'll try to get it here in the next couple of days for sure.
Okay. Well, then I think the deal is over as of today. But Geek Chic Daily was nice enough to give away a book for the fans. You can sign up with them and look into it. There's been a lot of positive response. I've read some of the Facebook comments and such that are all about it. There will be other giveaways that I'm aware of here and there. Stay tuned, you know.
I can
vouch. If you go looking for trouble, you'll find it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just said I can vouch for the fact that there will be other giveaways.
Uh-oh. I think that's a hint.
So, James, if I don't have a copy of the book, how do I get a copy?
Oh, you can go to rahc.guide@gmail.com. That is kind of the focal point that I'll have. I'm doing it all by myself, guys and gals. So contact me there. Express, you know, that is also my PayPal address. It'll be $45, including shipping domestically. Price of the book's $40. Shipping with the U.S. is $5. Shipping to Canada is $9, and shipping internationally is $18. I unfortunately do not make the rules on shipping.
Well, speaking of Canada, where will we see you next?
Ooh, you will actually – that was my final comment. Yes, you will see me at CanadaCon. I am very excited to be there. This will be my third year in the row and first time setting up, let alone first time debuting the book in foreign territories. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm actually going to pick it up, hopefully, at the convention, so I'll be able to get eyes on it then. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Awesome. I'm glad. Let me know what you think. I got a square jaw. I can take any criticism.
All right, will do.
Well, that should wrap it up with James. James, we thank you a lot for joining us on the show and definitely paying attention. Bonus points for you. This is just to tell you the level of detail that James puts to his hobby. He's always listening.
I am out there. I've done a lot of lurking and a lot of analyzing to generate these wonderful guys.
Well, everyone, James Kavanaugh, thanks for joining us on the program. You're welcome to stick around while we close this thing out, because actually we've been going on for quite a while now. Actually, it's going to be our longest show. So, but the information's been interesting, so you're welcome to stick around if you want.
Absolutely. No, I'm having a blast. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
All right. Greg, where are we at next?
Next, we're on to what did we get in this week? So, Gary, did you get anything fun in for the week for Joe-related stuff?
Dial tone. I've been really working on the Joe room, so I've been doing a lot of trips back and forth to Walmart for frames and Rubbermaid tubs and bins to kind of clean that place up. So, yeah, it's not very glamorous. No fancy new prototypes have showed up or anything like that. Basically housekeeping and house cleaning type stuff for my Joe room.
You got to do that, though. You got to keep things organized and clean, otherwise they kind of overwhelm you. What about you, Chuck? Did you get anything in this week? Which I know you did.
Well, actually,
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
Low light.
You betcha.
And give us your full thoughts on this figure, please. And did you lose the bullet?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say to all the listeners in the Northeast, New York, Connecticut, predominantly New York, now that I actually have low light, and I had to have somebody send them to me, you will find this figure in abundance.
That's now, how it works.
With all that said, I unfortunately have not had a chance to open him yet, but I will tell you, that little bullet and the little bullet case is staying in the tray. It's not getting out. But, I mean, I'm just looking at him. This is my figure. This is... You know, Low Light has been a favorite character of mine since the cartoon. You know, the episode where we were talking about his, the episode of the cartoon where his, he was dealing with his issues from childhood. That has always stuck out in my mind 30 years on since I last saw it. I'm just really excited.
Dalton ate the baked beans.
I don't remember. I don't remember the dial. See, the only episode I remember with dial tone is when he had to make the floating floppy drive to figure out where Cobra was having their telephone. That I remember. But my one complaint that I just have without even opening him, if you look at the card art, he's holding what appears to be a small stock automatic rifle, and which is the same gun that the shock trooper came with, that small, you know, handheld weapon. And instead they gave him Snake Eyes' Uzi. And I would have liked to have seen him come with that other rifle just because I feel it fits him better than the Uzi.
Yeah, I could see that. Did he originally come with an Uzi back in...
Yeah, in 86 he did have an Uzi with him, too.
Okay, yeah, so, I mean, you're going to either upset people if it didn't come with the original or whatever, but...
The original didn't come with an extra bullet, so it's got that on him.
Well, it would originally would have been lost, I think, so...
$150 Lola.
Yeah.
Break down.
Right. You get anything else in, Chuck?
Not Joe related. This is actually with Lowlight. I am now up to date with all available action figures.
Congratulations!
Thank you. I mean, I'm still going to Toys R Us. I'm still seeing that stack of pit play sets that have been discounted now to like $23 or $33 that I'm using every ounce of self control not to buy. So.
Do you have the pit at all, Chuck, or no?
No. Unfortunately, it's a space issue. I just don't have the space for something of that size. Because if I did, I would have had the giant Millennium Falcon as well as the pit.
It's your fault we're not getting a pterodrome.
Or that Cobra Pit version.
You gotta take it in there sometimes, Chuck.
Gotta think of your other collectors there, Chuck.
Well, I'm sorry. I live with a mother who nags me to death about space. I mean, do we really want to turn this podcast into, instead of what's on Joe's mind, what's Chuck's problems? Because I can just lay down now, and the three of you, four of you can be like group therapy here.
I think we don't have enough time for that today.
Yeah, no, don't have enough time. Oh, wow. Ooh, time to end the podcast.
All right, Justin, did you get anything in this week?
Yeah, for actual Joe stuff, I also got my dial tone that I've been tooling around with and starting to review on and stuff. I bought a bunch of stuff for, I get in these moods where I feel like, jumping back into my diorama stuff, so I bought some stone surface spray paint and some materials like that. I'm going to work on my dio sets a little bit more, but that's really about it. It's kind of a slow week. I'll be getting IDW's G.I. Joe number 1 tomorrow and checking that out, hopefully, but nothing beyond that.
Yeah, I'm stoked for tomorrow for that comic.
Yeah, me too.
So is this the relaunch?
Yeah, this is the relaunch. G.I. Joe number 1, the Cobra Civil War is beginning tomorrow.
Ah, yes, for who's going to be the new Cobra Commander.
Exactly.
Watch the body count rise.
Yep.
That's right, yes.
And this now makes the 3,000th G.I. Joe comic reboot since the year 2000.
This one's extra special, though, Chuck.
Chuck's not buying it, apparently.
He's going back to Transformers.
I haven't read comics since 1994, and every time I think about going back in, stuff like this happens, and it reminds me why I got out.
Yeah, it takes a special type person to stick with comics for more than 10 years at a time, because just the way things are always cyclical and the illusion of change, it's hard to get used to, I guess.
You get anything in this week, James? Yeah.
Ooh, well, of course, the dial tone. Lucky me. Please, for everybody, please be patient. They will come.
if you didn't tell me that funny story earlier, it just wouldn't be nearly as funny as right now. But yeah, we've heard some stories of people hounding the club.
Yeah. After like day 3 of hearing that it came out. So.
Didn't they send out an email saying that they're going to be if you don't get it by like June 4th, then let them know.
Thank you, Greg.
Brother. Thank you for being
it. It is one midway collector, through May.
One particular collector, I love collector in particular, I love him to death, but he doesn't care. He wants his toys now. And then I was fortunate enough to get Wave 4, 2011, the Rog Viper Croc Master Wave.
Oh, he's unable with the Wave 4. Uh-oh.
Yeah, oh yes. Well, you know, that's the author, you know, research guide guy in me. I didn't want to say that on too many boards, but that's the way it's going down.
Yeah, I know those boards that will correct you immediately and tell you how much you're wrong, even though you have a book.
Well, I don't want to play that card. I don't need to be that guy.
Did you find them in stores, or did you get them online?
I did find them at a Walmart, and that is something interesting. I try to minimize my driving, and I live in Dayton, and unfortunately they are not in Dayton anywhere, but they are in Cincinnati. So nag your Walmarts to get your Joes.
All right, very cool. Did you get a chance to open them up and play with them a little bit?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did. I opened up every one of them. And, I forget who made the comment, but I'm in agreement with them. They're neat. They're a lot of fun. They are repaints. But I think the only thing taking away from is the fact that I have two waves to choose from, and just the Blowtorch, the Steel Brigade, and the General Hawk in particular are what are making me want that wave more than this one, to be honest with you. But I think the Python Patrol Croc Master will be neat. The Viper, if you really like Vipers, yeah, he's got a great Pursuit of Cobra look to him. I mean, just like you've seen in all the photos, the Iron Grenadiers, Pursuit of Cobra goodness. And the Rock Viper, I'm on the opinion that if you're going to go the classic look, do it 100%. But he's still 75%, so he's still a lot of fun.
All right, very cool. I actually got something in this week for once. I decided to treat myself, and I picked up G.I. Joe Special Missions Volume 2 of the Classic from the 80s. So it's done by Larry Hama and Herb Trimpe. I got the first one a while back, but I think the Special Missions, for the listeners that aren't up on the older comics, Special Missions are basically non-Cobra adventures. So it's oftentimes just a small team of Joes in a single issue going to exotic country, and a lot of times it's them getting manipulated by the CIA or different government organizations for missions. But they're pretty cool because you get to see a lot of Joes that oftentimes don't get highlighted. Like the last one I read, who was it? It was Slipstream, Lieutenant Falcon, and Psycho on a mission. So that's kind of cool just to see guys that really don't get a lot of airtime besides with their file card.
They had a really cool arc with was it Outback? It was like maybe a 2 or 3 issue arc that it just sticks in my mind as in the middle of reading the rest of, you know, 1 through 155, that little 3-episode arc of Outback being caught out and, you know, being tracked down by, I don't forget what country it is. I mean, they're all fictional anyways.
Barovia,
yeah. And
one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, it is. That is one of the best arcs. If you guys have never read Special Missions, pick it up. And that one arc alone, you'll be like, wow, I need to read every issue right now, because you leave yourself hanging and you don't know what the heck's going to happen next.
And that was the cool thing. That was one of the few times that Special Missions actually kind of intersected with the mainstream title, because it was actually, you know, Stalker, Quick Kick, and Snowjob actually got captured in one of the mainline G.I. Joe issues, and Outback, you know, escaped capture, and then it kind of branched off into Special Missions when it actually showed him making his way out of the country. And so it was very cool the way they kind of all brought that together.
Yeah, that's in the Special Missions issue 6, which crossed over from Real American Hero issue 61. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And I remember Justin had mentioned it a bunch of years ago as one of his favorites. And when I finally got him, it's cool to read all the stories in line and then be able to flip back and forth between Special Missions and the actual issues. So if you guys haven't picked them up, I highly recommend ordering them from your local comic book shop or getting them from Amazon.
Greg?
Real quick, was there any special add-ins into those trade paperbacks? Usually they add in something a little extra.
let's see. The only one, let's see. The only big thing that is that both of them have introductions by Mark Bellamo, which is kind of cool.
That's cool.
About, and then they have the new cover art, which is done by Robert Atkins, which he does a. I just have the first two, which I think he's doing them for all the special missions, but it just show it has basically just profiles, pictures of whoever the Joes are in those particular issues. So the second one has Beachhead, Dusty, Lady J, Torpedo, and Wild Bill. So, I mean, that's nothing too spectacular, but still pretty neat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Greg, I just wanted to ask, are these the original Marvel trade paperbacks, or are these, or did IDW republish the trade paperbacks? Because I know that they now have the licensing and have been reprinting the old classic G.I. Joe trades. So I was wondering if they've been doing these as well.
Yep, it's been IDW doing the reprints, and they're cleaning up the art a little bit. Just for the coloring, basically. So yeah, they look. I mean, they're 20 or 25 years old now. So, but they look pretty sharp with the new coloring. So again, highly recommended.
Okay, well that brings us to the end of the show. Real quick, we want to tell you how to contact the show and tell you about what we got going on next week. Remember, because we are interactive here on the show, this is how you can contact us. You can always find us at jodaclassified.com in the off-topic forum. Just find one of our aliases, click on our names, and you can send us personal messages. You can also send email directly to Greg at whatsonjoemine@gmail.com. And our podcasts are hosted at Podbean at whatsonjoemine.podbean.com. And also you can subscribe, or in other words, someone told me to set it and forget it, at iTunes, where you can, as soon as we upload, you can download the latest edition of What's on Joe Mine. Next week, we have Mike Heddle from the Canadian G.I. Joe Collectors Convention. He will be joining us, so if you have any questions for Mike or any questions about the Canadian convention, feel free to hit us up at the email address or on our Facebook page. Just search What's on Joe Mine for Facebook, click like, and you'll add us to your news feed. And next week we might also dip into the news or the mailbag a little bit, because we seem to be getting a little bit of mail. So we'll do that, and we'll probably talk about some other things, news of the week, as well as maybe dip back into Collecting 101. So we hope you enjoy the show. We thank James for joining us. If you can't hear in the background, actually I am playing as a lead out song, Just a Gigolo.
Oh. Everywhere I go. No. Thank you.
So
the honor is all mine. I was really excited you guys invited me on your show. This is my first interview.
Well, thanks, James. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. All right, well, that's it for this week. We will catch you on the next episode. Thanks a lot, and have a good night.